Are you ready to live a more meaningful and passionate life? Through the principles of heart living, you'll delve into new theories, discover life wisdom, and achieve greater balance. Become inspired. Tune in to Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, international life coach and practitioner who's helped thousands transform their lives. Part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network, Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff will lead you on a remarkable journey of the heart.
Welcome to the Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff show. I'm Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, your host. You can listen to Heart Living on syndicated Dream Vision 7 radio network every Wednesday, 2 a.m. and 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Boston and worldwide. You may listen online or on your mobile devices. To learn more, go to dreamvision7radio.com for a full schedule. Dream Vision 7 radio network is the media partner for Omega Institute. Thanks so much for tuning into our show. Our topic is healing in life passages. I'd like to start our show by comparing the journey of life to that of being on a road, and you'll see why in a few moments. So you can think of it this way. As we go through the journey of life, we may consider ourselves traveling on a road, and this road has passage points along the way. Now, we could call these passages stopping points, places of reflection, or just places where we're not sure how to continue the journey. Or maybe a passage could also be seen as a meeting place of energies that somehow we're going to have to move through. But at any rate, wherever you are in your own life process, it's my hope that our show today will help you to understand overall life patterns, and in that way help you to nurture yourself as you go through life changes and passages. So I guess you can ask yourself, have you ever found that the emerging parts of yourself, you know, these changes that come up, and we're assuming that some change is always taking place really in each of us, that these emerging parts of yourself do not always fit within the confines of the self that you perhaps previously created? For example, many times we get to a place in life where what was working for us, you know, up until then maybe even, is no longer working. And in some cases, what I'm calling an emerging part of ourselves, you know, maybe trying to come alive in us or trying to be born, you could say. And that new part of us, again, just doesn't fit into the constraints of the life that we have been living. And in fact, in our society, we refer to midlife as such a passage place. Now, Dr. Carl Jung, who was a famous Swiss psychiatrist, and his name is spelled J-U-N-G, he speculated that we go through a number of passages in a lifetime, and that the turning point of the entire life is often referred to as middle passage. And by the way, I don't think that middle passage has an age, or nor did I think he talked about it as having an age. But to start with, I want to define a little more clearly the word passage so we can get the idea. So a passage simply refers to, again, a kind of meeting point of energies that are taking place in the person's life, and it's often a place on your journey that might be referred to as a bridge. So think of it that way, like you're on the road and you've come to a bridge. It could also be a corridor, a channel, but something that you come upon and through which you must pass. But here's an important key. These different passages in life are said to be those points that will offer you the greatest opportunity for growth. And we know also, of course, that most of our challenges, in fact, do contribute to our growth, and such is the case with passages. So as we go along today on the show, you may want to think about some questions, and they would be, you know, do you sense that you're in a place in your life right now that could be termed a passage? Do you recall a specific passage point? Is there something in you that is seeking to emerge or become, like you're wanting to do something, and maybe you're even feeling a little stuck, so it's like a stopping point, but there's a part of you that you want to bring forth. And how would you bring it forth? So these would be things to be thinking about. Okay, so as we think about passages then, one type of passage, and again, the one most researched, is considered to occur during the time of our middle years, what you'll refer to as the middle passage, and as often is referred to as midlife. And we said it doesn't have a certain age, but most people consider the years to be between 35 and 70, with 40 to 60 at its core. And this is perhaps the least studied, but most often referred to period in life. And, you know, this time in our lives abounds with changing images and titles. You know, the midlife crisis can be called the change of life, the empty nest syndrome, and many more titles like that probably come to your mind. So middle passages, we're referring to it on our show today, may take place during that time frame. And what I find interesting is that a person's major middle passage, you know, the major passage of the lifetime, usually occurs when that person has started to achieve some maturity and an energy has come up from the past that often needs to be integrated into the lifetime. So there's this sense then of a spiral of life and something that has been with the person but maybe not addressed or not healed or not let go of or not, you know, worked through or whatever, can come up and need to be integrated, and that is generally a time for the middle passage. And it's also helpful to know that Dr. Jung, that I referred to earlier, and by the way, he is the one for whom Jungian thought and psychology is known. He was a student of Freud and split off from Freud with his consciousness and thinking process, and his psychology was quite different. Very interesting to look up. But anyway, he described the life cycle as life in two overall phases. You know, you have the first and second halves of life. And he considered the first half of life to consist of childhood and early adulthood, without necessarily attributing ages exactly, but just childhood and early adulthood, while the second half of life he would have referred to as midlife and old age. So the first half he saw as oriented primarily to a person's conforming to the outer world, kind of adapting, you know, to the outer world. So you've left home and, or you're in, certainly as a child and as a young adult, you're at home, but you're trying to conform to the outer world. And in the young adult or early adult, you may even leave to go to college, but yet you're still trying to adapt and conform to your outer world. And, you know, you adapted to the family you were born into, the people who came into your first half of life. Now, the second half of life, midlife and old age, he considered to be oriented to adaptation of you to your inner world, which is really kind of cool. And again, your own inner self. So Jung said that ego development was the focus of the first half. You're trying to figure out who are you. Ego development is often referred to as personality development, you know, a sense of ego strength within you and so on. While the second half of life was the time, he said, for the development of what he referred to as your full self. And by the full self, he was referring to what would be called your authentic you or the inner you. So in midlife or middle passage, we bring more and more of the unconscious in ourselves forward, you know, that which we aren't always thinking about consciously or tapping, but we bring it forth, we bring it forward, and we try to reconcile it with our ego. So we're trying to take the unconscious in ourselves and reconcile with that ego that we developed in the first half. And this process, by the way, the entire process of life, but especially of that transition in midlife, is called individuation. Now, individuation is an integration of your ego, your personality self, with what is often called your shadow self. So the shadow self would refer to a repressed side of yourself, a side that you don't often know even exists. Sometimes people say, well, I'm not that. But, of course, someone observing them may, in fact, say, well, yeah, they are. So, you know, it's a part of ourselves we don't always own or see for ourselves. So to kind of recap that, in the first half of our lives, we develop our ego or our personality. And it's a personality or ego that conforms to the demands and desires of the people and institutions that surround us. So what surrounds you in the first half? Your family, your school, religious connections, you know, neighborhood, all of the sort of tribal, they call it, connections. And in the first half of life, we answer questions. And they would be questions like, you know, what do I like? What people do I enjoy? What work should I do? And that type of thing. And as we answer these questions, you know, we're developing in our families, we begin to develop our careers, and basically continue to develop our identity. Now, in midlife, or again, the point where the second half would be starting, Jung suggested that we often revisit the original questions, you know, the ones when we were a kid that we, you know, who am I, what did I like, what people do I enjoy, and all of that, we revisit these questions going within ourselves at that point instead of adapting to the outer world. So that's what I found so interesting. So, you know, we're no longer trying to fit it together from the outer, but we're saying, wait a minute, what do I really like, want, and who am I really? And in this way, if we're able to do this, and hopefully we are because that's individuation, if we're able to do that, then he says we can encounter what he referred to as a second birth. And actually, he refers to the movement into the second half of life as, the term he actually uses is called psychic rebirth. So you can certainly Google that and find more out about it, but psychic rebirth is his term. So, you know, as we move into midlife, Jung suggests that difficulties may arise as we go through this passage in which we're shifting ourselves. And what would some of these difficulties look like? And you can kind of do a little inventory on your own as I mention them. Well, you know, we no longer fit into the former conditions we've set up. Maybe we've even started developing a negative attitude at being in the same place that we've been in all along because it no longer seems to work for us. Or it could be that we somehow have exaggerated expectations and our world isn't fitting together like we had hoped it would. Or we may underestimate problems that could occur as we move into old age, and we may feel unfulfilled, we may feel bored. A job that we held for 5 years that was working perfectly just may really seem boring to us now, or just uninterested in our life circumstances. And finally, it's possible, and probably even likely, as we do progress through life, that work and family and our own identity difficulties, things come up that were not expected. But, you know, we just didn't factor those in or have those in our consciousness. So I don't know if any of these difficulties sound familiar to you, but often with individuals I coach, these issues are mentioned frequently. But midlife can also bring or begin after you've had a type of crisis or a transition that might occur around some significant life events. So, for example, you can when you move into old age or the second half, you could say, let's say your youngest child finishes college or leaves home, or you yourself reach a certain age, and this for you announces to the world, you know, that something big is happening. You're entering a new decade or a new change. The death of parents can be definitely a marker too as a shift into midlife. But equally important, it's in, you know, in this regard, is to recognize that many of us experience at some point along the life journey a type of restless craving, if you want to call it that, to actually finally realize our potential. You know, we realize time is going by and we know that we're good at a certain thing or we have a gift that we could be giving the world, and we begin to have a restlessness around that and a craving to actually realize our potential rather than just to have that potential. So a midlife crisis isn't really about recovering lost youth or being reckless at all, as our society sometimes paints it to be. It's about discovering how to become the best version of yourself. So hopefully what that does when we get there is it will lead us to questioning, seeking, dreaming, evaluating, all of the types of things that would be important at a passage place. Now, I want to go back to Carl Jung's idea again, because he said while the first half of life, you know, is for the development of the ego, the second half, remember the full F-U-L-L self, so the second half, he says, is for the full flowering of yourself. So kind of think of it, you had these seeds of potential or the little bud of possibility, and the second half would be when you try to have the full flowering of yourself, but again, by going inward and really recognizing your own potential and who you are. So if you're going through some current challenges, either in your personal or professional life, it would be critical to figure out if current challenges are part of your former adaptation to the world. In other words, do they belong to that old you, what is usually called the adaptive self? You know, do they belong to that? And if so, you can ask yourself, is it time for that sort of old child self, if you want to call it that, to be let go, you know, to lessen or to leave so that I can respond to my life and my new circumstances in a new way that's not like my old self. And again, that would lead you to the flowering of the self. So your adaptive self, the old self, refers to the self that you created in the first half of your life so that you could really survive your circumstances. And I want to share just a little bit more about this adaptive self to help you understand how to work with letting it go so you can flower the self, as he puts it. So this adaptive self was formed, if you think about it, around the roles that you played at varying ages in your life and in varying circumstances. So you were born into a family, and you, Jung would say you put on a mask at some point, like the circumstances that you encountered. Maybe you were abused. Maybe you were invisible. You couldn't really be seen. There would be many things that happened to different family members in different ways. But as a child, you would begin to develop a mask so that you could survive those family circumstances. So this mask is called the adaptive self. Now, to assess the adaptive self and decide what is no longer working, you would first need to decide what the adaptive self for you was or is. And I taught a workshop recently. An individual said that their adaptive selves fit some of the roles that they played. So I'm going to give you a few examples that you can think about. Some people said they considered themselves to wear the mask of a perfectionist. So if it were something that was required of you as a child, it's quite possible that, you know, you were told, you know, things have to be perfect. And maybe you weren't even, it wasn't even said to you, you know, verbally, but the implication was that if you screwed up, you got in trouble. So you had to make sure you did things right. So perfectionist is a type of mask. An over-functioner is another type of mask. If you feel like you need to be functioning for other people, an excessive caregiver, that type of thing, making sure that everybody's okay, that is a mask. A rebel can be a mask. An overachiever could actually become a part of a mask. Be the scapegoat for other members of the family, that can be a mask. Another one that probably I have the most in all of my clients who come to see me for coaching is a people pleaser. You know, and if you're a people pleaser, that's really tough because it's hard to know what you want, because you tend to seek approval outside yourself. And if I can please other people, then I'm okay. But, you know, we can't always please other people, and we can't always know that we could please other people. So there's a constant sense of not knowing if you're enough or if you're okay. You could have the mask of the overprotected child who doesn't trust his or her own decision-making process or ability to survive. Victim can be a mask, but this just gives you some idea. You know, we could go on and on, but this gives you some idea. So after you've figured out your adaptive mask, or adaptive role is another term, you can also decide what caused you to have to wear or perform that role. You see, most of us have been wearing a mask the better part of our lives, and sometimes we never have realized it until somebody actually explains what I'm explaining. And then it's like, oh, okay, yeah, okay, I am a people pleaser, I am a perfectionist or whatever. So is it time then to remove that mask and to look under it and see what feels more like the real you? That would be the middle passage. So if you were always the overfunctioner, is it time to have a need of your own or to ask somebody to help you, right? Doesn't that make sense? And if you've been a people pleaser, what part of yourself have you had to cut off to stay present with people and maybe even to do things you didn't really want to do? You could be a people pleaser and be resentful. And then sometimes over-functioners create relationships where they have relationships with people who become what I call hostile dependent. In other words, if I'm going to over-function for you all the time, you're going to grow to depend upon me, and then you'll become hostile toward me that you can't depend upon yourself. And yet, you know, I'm still trying to, it can be termed a control idea. So, you know, again, these are all very important things to look at. And as you reflect on these roles, you may begin to realize that because of the roles, you made major choices throughout your life that have created the life you're living now. So it can be helpful to go back and evaluate not only what you did choose, but in turn what you did not choose. You know, was there a dream associated with something that you did not complete? Could you go back and reclaim that dream now? This would be the idea. So I'm going to give you a personal example. I started out in college as a journalism major, and my first class was with a professor whose style I found extremely difficult. He was very, very rigid, not creative like I thought the field of journalism would be, which is why I chose the major. And I knew that I'd have to take several more classes from him, so I completely switched my major to English and to teaching, and actually teaching literature instead. Now, I love teaching, and I don't have a regret that I made that change, yet why did I want to be a journalist? You know, that would be my question to go back and look at. And in going back, I realized that I loved the concept of story. I loved creativity. I wanted to inform people. I wanted to listen to people's stories, report about them, write about them, and actually make a difference. So later in life, I reclaimed that dream and became a life coach. And I'm not writing the stories, so to speak, but I'm listening and creatively assisting people to improve their stories, which is probably, again, mostly what I wanted to do. So that, again, is just an example. Now it is time for a break. I'm Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, your host for Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff. Dream Vision 7 Radio Network is a media partner for Omega Institute. For more information, you can go to dreamvision7radio.com. We'll be back shortly for further tips on healing and life passages. And thanks so much for listening.
Are you ready to live a more meaningful and passionate life? Through the principles of heart living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, international life coach and energy medicine practitioner, you'll delve into new theories, discover life wisdom, and achieve greater balance. Become inspired. Connect with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff through her Dream Vision 7 radio show, Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff. Visit Cynthia's website at heartliving.com and like her Facebook page at facebook.com/heartliving for inspiration and guidance. Cynthia has helped thousands transform their lives. Let her lead you on a remarkable journey of the heart.
Omega Institute, offering workshops, retreats, and online learning dedicated to awakening the best in the human spirit. With a 40-year track record, pioneering holistic studies, and helping more than a million people find a deeper sense of purpose, Omega is known the world over as a trusted source for an integrated approach to personal growth and social change. Located in Rhinebeck, New York, just 90 miles north of New York City, Omega's natural environment and quiet pace allow for extraordinary experiences to unfold. Learn more at eomega.org.
Are you searching for a way to help create global change? Dream Vision 7 Radio Network's vision is to have an eclectic group of radio hosts dedicated to educating, enlightening, and helping humankind with positive messages and tools that enhance lives using different modalities and programs. If you would like to join our team and help illuminate the universe, call Deborah at 508-226-1723 or Deborah at dreamvision7radio.com.
Join us every Wednesday at 2 p.m. and 2 a.m. Eastern on the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network for Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, where you'll discover life wisdom and achieve greater spiritual awareness. Through Cynthia's coaching tips, healing stories, and inspirational interviews, you'll improve your relationships, find greater balance, and achieve inner peace today. Join thousands who've transformed their lives through Heart Living.
Living with fear and stress in your life, there is an answer.
If you're ready for a better way, step through The Doorway.
The Doorway is a multimedia online course for transcending fear, transforming relationships, accessing inner guidance, and experiencing more inspiration and trust in your life.
To learn more about these online courses based on the teachings of A Course in Miracles and David Hoffmeister, go to acimcourses.com.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
Welcome back. You're listening to Dream Vision 7 Radio. I'm Dr. Cynthia Bischoff of the Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff show. Dream Vision 7 Radio Network is a media partner for Omega Institute. Our topic is healing and life passages. So before we took the break, I had talked about how we can reclaim a dream. And so this helps us to understand that passage times in life come up and can offer us an opportunity to look at our overall life stories and decide in some cases, you could say, what we gave up and how we might reclaim the dreams that we once had. It's as though we have an opportunity to reclaim the past and to bring it now into an integration process with what's currently happening, or just to change the future based on the integration. And you see, often in our lives, at some point, we recognize that we've made decisions and, in a lot of cases, even sacrifices around what we wanted to achieve in life. And now maybe we might go back and again look at what we've actually left behind, because we often leave as much behind as we create. So throughout our lifetimes, we have been creating both written and unwritten contracts. And I think of that as saying, you know, sometimes we literally say, I want this. I know this is what I want to do with someone or even with ourselves. So some of those could be quote unquote written contracts, like we were aware of them. And then in some cases, by choosing one thing, we don't choose another. So then there's like an unwritten contract too. But most important at passage times in life, and especially at middle passage, we often need to renegotiate the contracts that we're living under. So with this, it's really helpful to ask yourself some questions. And you could say to yourself, you know, what old patterns or old broken stories have been dying in my life or are being asked to die in my life? And it's something that I keep bringing forth. Again, in coaching, sometimes people will come to me and they will have had a horrific childhood. And part of the old broken piece is that, let's say they were victimized, and they can let go of that at a point at which they can become victor in their lives. So that would be an example. Or you could say, you know, how have you been, or how may you release whatever this thing is to make room for a new and greater story to unfold in your life? And this greater story that would be unfolding is what we're referring to, or even Jung referred to, as a rebirth. And another good question you could ask yourself to help you with this idea is just to say, do I feel like a minor or a major actor or actress in the story of my life? Because if you're feeling like your life's kind of happening to you, or you're living it out by default rather than design, you know, maybe you're feeling like a minor player, but you are the main player. So you might want to then reassess how you're living out your life, or what would happen if you were living your full self, as Jung calls it. You know, what would you look like? How would you feel? And all of that, and the life around you. So in regard to these contracts, these written or unwritten, you know, contracts, it's often the case that the rewards that we have received from certain jobs or even investments that we've made in our lives, that before, some of these might have seemed before to be fulfilling, and now they may seem empty, you know, because we've changed so much that what we were headed toward 20 years ago or even 10 years ago, we're in a totally different place now. And relationships that we chose and thought would go on forever may have come to a place where, one, they're either uninteresting to us, or somehow the work we came in to do with the person, this isn't always the case, of course, but it can be, the work that we came in to do is done. And it's almost as though your contract is fulfilled in some way. But every situation is different. And, you know, the main thing would be, if it were the case with a relationship, you may have to get down to renegotiating what would almost be termed a relationship contract to see how it's working or not working. The same thing with a work contract. So all these questions we've said you can ask, you can also ask yourself, what contracts have you made, okay, written or unwritten, that are just now not working for you, or they make you feel empty, or maybe they're creating some pain, and how might you rewrite or renegotiate them? So another quick example for myself is that I worked at three different universities, and a university prior to establishing my business, Heart Living, which, by the way, I'll be in practice as a Heart Living as the founder of Heart Living. It'll be 20 years, April 1st this year. But at any rate, I was working as a university professor, and I was also a faculty administrator. So I was doing tremendous amounts of work, running 100 programs a year. And what I was doing was good stuff. You know, I was helping lots of people. I was doing a lot of hard work. It felt rewarding. And then at some point, I realized it wasn't the best version of myself. So when I left that job, which I did 20 years ago, and established my own business, I remember a friend saying to me, you know, clearly what you're doing is valuable, but it's not the best you. So, you know, why don't you just jump? You climbed a mountain, okay, and your nose was so close to the mountain that you probably climbed the wrong mountain, which was absolutely the case, I think. But my friend said to me, you know, just jump. You're ready to jump. And I said, I'm afraid to jump because if I jump, what if I don't land with my feet on the ground? And his response to me really changed everything because he said, why do you need your feet on the ground? What if you jump and you're supposed to fly? So he was able as a friend to open me up to the possibility that I didn't have to know the absolute outcome of the change I was going to make. And I began thinking about my own 80th birthday. And I thought, you know, on my 80th birthday, if I looked back over my life, I would like to think that I had really used my potential to the fullest and that I had helped people. It was extremely important to me, go back to my, you know, tell the story of people thing. It was extremely important to help people to overcome situations in which they didn't feel passionate about life and so on. I could do that on my own. I could not have done that in that university position. So for me, it was critical to leave that work and take the risk and take the chance because I knew ultimately on my 80th birthday, I'd be glad I did, and I'd have more concerns if I had not done that. So again, just an example. But as you bring forth parts of yourself and integrate and nurture this new you or this part of you that maybe you have or have not been in touch with, we would have to understand and look at what is called the shadow self. I'd mentioned that earlier, and I want to talk just a bit more about that. Because you see, the first half of your life is the time when those parts of yourself that have been neglected or ignored or just kind of, you could say, otherwise held down in some way, well, these parts sometimes are saying, hey, I want to emerge. And I think for me, I was actually 40 years old at the time, and for me, I knew that there was a part of me that needed to emerge that had not emerged, and I was wanting so much to have a life that had a greater meaning and, you know, personal and spiritual kind of meaning than the one that I was doing, although the one I was doing wasn't a bad life. It just wasn't the best version of me. So again, you can ask yourself, what in me wants to emerge? You see, this unacknowledged part of ourselves, if we don't give it voice, it is often referred to as our shadow. And Carl Jung developed the concept of shadow, but I believe shadow to him meant it was out of the light of your consciousness. Okay, so you just really didn't know that feeling you had or whatever existed. And there is a quote from Carl Jung that I want to share with you at this moment. He says, and let me get it here, it is, in the second half of life, at first it is not a conscious and striking change. Often it is something like a slow change in a person's character. In another case, certain traits may come to light which had disappeared or were not allowed in childhood. So see, that shed a little light on it. Or again, former inclinations and interests begin to weaken and others arise to take their places. So that will give you that idea, the things that, you know, begin to shift. And you know, what Jung is telling us is that these significant changes that occur later in life often do not occur automatically. And in fact, for some people, these changes, this potential rebirth and all of this, most people, in fact, fight against it or are resistant to it or try to ignore that it's even happening at all, try to play it down so they can keep doing the same thing. But the good news is that Jung says we all do share a quest for wholeness. And the quest for wholeness can be ignited in the second half of our lives. But if we ignore the questions that are coming up in us and act as if we're still in life's first half, Jung would tell you that you would do so at your own peril or your own loss. So you see, the second half of life asks us not to stay bound to the who, as it's called, that we've created ourselves to be, but to open up to the magic of what we can become. And again, not, you know, what we have created, but what we can become. So these passage places, again, especially Middle Passage, can be hard to maneuver because maybe we grew up with rigid parenting or we grew up with a need to be dependent and obedient to some, I don't know, outer authority or something. So we may have to release excessive dependency on something or someone and come to terms with what he would call your own self-responsibility. It's like you owe it to yourself to become the real you, if you want to think of it that way. And I had a client recently, I want to use this example, who was struggling with an inner part of herself that she said was fighting against her current role in life. And I was explaining Jung's theories to her, and we were evaluating her life in a coaching session. And she said to me, well, you know, can't I just pretend that everything could stay the same as the first half? I mean, do I have to have a crisis right now? And so you get the idea, because she knew that the crisis would bring about change, and change had always scared her. So on the other hand, as I told her, we know that pretending is not going to yield any growth or help us really at all. But maybe you can make changes and grow a little bit at a time without waiting for or having a crisis, you know, right? So you don't have to have a crisis in order to make a change. In fact, if you don't make a change, you probably will have a crisis. And years ago in a heart living class that I taught, a client of mine was Buddhist, and I remember she said to me that in her faith, she was taught that a crisis was simply a way in which a person's soul was saying that they had strayed too far from home. Isn't that beautiful? And I will always repeat that a person's soul, you know, if you had a crisis, especially a midlife crisis, it was simply a way in which the person's soul was saying that they'd strayed too far from home. And I've never forgotten her words because I thought they were beautiful. So middle passage, or again, excuse me, what our society might say is midlife crisis, we could say it's really just our soul seeking the light, or our soul trying to seek to find its way back home. And we just have, you could say, two parts inside us. We've got that old voice, adaptive mask, you know, the old persona is another word for this, that's claiming to be us. It's the former us. It's saying, hey, this is who I am. And then we've got this new persona that's awakening and coming alive within us. So just remember that the new part is not an enemy. It's not a scary person, but it's just a part that we might have disowned before or just didn't give voice to. So it might even be familiar. It's just that we haven't been there for a long time, and now by being there, we're going to be able to do something about it differently now. So it is time for a break. I'm Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, your host for Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff. Dream Vision 7 Radio Network is the media partner for Omega Institute. For more information, you can go to dreamvision7radio.com. We'll be back soon for further tips on healing and life passages. Again, thanks for listening.
Join us every Wednesday at 2 p.m. and 2 a.m. Eastern on the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network for Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, where you'll discover life wisdom and achieve greater spiritual awareness. Through Cynthia's coaching tips, healing stories, and inspirational interviews, you'll improve your relationships, find greater balance, and achieve inner peace today. Join thousands who've transformed their lives through Heart Living.
Have you seen 1111? Do you wonder why certain numbers keep showing up in your life? 11, 111, 22, 33, 444. People all over the world are seeing 1111 and learning the language of universal communication. Subscribe to 1111 Magazine today, 1111mag.com. 1111 Magazine is a bi-monthly online publication that offers a rich multi-sensory experience. Engage with experts and topics of consciousness. Become enlightened, empowered, and energized so you live a passionate and authentic life of conscious choices. 1111 Magazine, a daily staple for lifting the mindset, expanding the heart, and experiencing greater aliveness. 1111 Magazine. Order now at www.1111mag.com. 1111mag.com.
Are you ready to live a more meaningful and passionate life? through the principles of heart living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, international life coach and energy medicine practitioner. You'll delve into new theories, discover life wisdom, and achieve greater balance. Become inspired. Connect with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff through her Dream Vision 7 radio show, Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff. Visit Cynthia's website at heartliving.com and like her Facebook page at facebook.com/heartliving for inspiration and guidance. Cynthia has helped thousands transform their lives. Let her lead you on a remarkable journey of the heart.
After narrowly surviving the attack on Sandy Hook Elementary, first grade teacher Caitlin Roig DeBellis was left searching for answers that would never come. Eventually, she chose to focus on questions that could be answered. How do I make sure this tragedy doesn't define us? How do we get our control back? Those two questions led her to found the 501c3 nonprofit organization, Classes for Classes. When gifts poured into their classroom, she decided they would help someone else by paying it forward and being kind. This developed into a social network which allows K-8 classrooms to connect so that every student in the United States can learn these crucial lessons. Classes for Classes' mission is to build students' social-emotional intelligence by connecting them to care. All C4C projects are crowdfunded. Any teacher in the U.S. can visit classesforclasses.org. That's classes, the number 4, classes.org. Sign up today.
Quantum Jumps presents a radical new paradigm that we exist in an interconnected holographic multiverse in which we literally jump from one parallel universe to another. In a moment, you can become smarter, more confident, happier, more outgoing, more effective, in better relationships, with more willpower. When you sense a new connection to another possible you, living the life you'd prefer, immerse yourself naturally into that new state of being. And voila, you've made a quantum jump. Supported by scientific research, Quantum Jumps is an inspirational book backed with practical tools to help you live a happier, more prosperous life. Learn more at quantumjumps.com.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
Welcome back. You're listening to Dream Vision 7 Radio. I'm Dr. Cynthia Bischoff of the Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff show. Dream Vision 7 Radio Network is the media partner for Omega Institute. Our topic is healing and life passages. So on our show today, we've been talking about midlife passage in general, the work of Dr. Carl Jung, and really just questions you can ask yourself in your own life. And especially in midlife, I want to talk just a bit more about that. We often experience a need to do what I have heard and love the concept of coursing correct. It's almost like a plane that may be flying slightly off course and simply needs to course correct to reach its proper destination. So sometimes, if we are coursing correct, these corrections can become releases from something that maybe really wasn't working for us, or we could accept something differently, or just reclaim a former dream. And corrections like this, midlife corrections, if you want to call it that, can really be the beginning of some, I feel like, some really mindful or conscious living. So how does the aging process fit in with these passages? And I think this is important too, because sometimes I'll have people come in and tell me that they're very concerned about the whole process of aging and what's going on with them. I tend to have many retired clients talking about the whole idea of problems in their lifetime, lack of balance, wishing to have a different life and all of that. So let's look at aging. Okay, so what if a person focuses a great deal on the physical body? For example, the person's placed a great deal of emphasis on the body. What would happen in that evening, if you want to call it, of one's life? Well, if a person over-identifies with the body as the basis of their identity and who they are, then the aging process may feel like their body is betraying them, or they just may feel like they're not in control. And in some cases, aging itself, and I have experiences with clients, can become a crisis for a person. Again, people who place, let's say, great value on their physical appearance, you know, they begin to feel like they've got a loss of identity as to the who they were. And you see, people who identify themselves with their bodies often find the latter half of life to feel more like a burden. And in contrast, when a person identifies more with their inner world, as Jung says they should attempt to do in the latter part, then the latter half of life can feel more like a blessing. So I just wanted to point that out. And, you know, at some point, you have to begin to say, okay, I'm not 20, 30, 40, or maybe even 50 anymore. And hopefully you have earned a certain position of wisdom. So you begin to get in touch with your wisdom. You know, we can have knowledge for a lifetime, but when we act on what it is we know, I call that wisdom. And the whole idea of time itself can shift for you. You know, mortality, the thought that time is running out, that can leave a middle-aged person feeling discontent and restless. And it makes a person, or can make a person, I should say, have a need to reassess life and its meaning. You see, when you're living deeply or you have a life rich with meaning, you're going to have a lot less fear of dying. I've also found that often when a person has a fear of dying, the fear really is that they haven't lived enough, more than that they have the fear of dying. But to find greater meaning and to live a richer, fuller life as far as meaning goes, it calls on us to regenerate ourselves by integrating body, mind, and spirit, you know, just seeing us as all of those three components. And if we are questioning the meaning of our lives, we may have to overcome any limiting beliefs that we've held about ourselves in the past, any limitations that we place on aging, or again, our bodies, minds, and spirits now. But loss itself can also be a trigger for middle passage, you know, just loss in general. So not just physical loss and that type of thing, but we can lose family members, friends who pass on. We may have a loss of our own health. We might have more health issues. Frequently, people who come to me in retirement age have an onset of arthritis, have certain, and they start having hip replacement, knee replacement, et cetera. And certainly as people retire, they often experience a loss of status and power and of material wealth. Again, not that any of these things have to stop a person from living fully, but they often cause issues for a person that need to be looked at. But when we encounter issues of loss, we're also encountering the energy of endings. And remember that endings generally precede new beginnings. So how do endings factor into passages? Well, you know, again, I say if something new has to begin, something else has to end. So passages can take us from one dimension into another, and endings might be necessary at times. So don't, you know, if you begin to say that this is an ending, but maybe it's really a new beginning, then it's a natural part of your life journey, whether it's personal, professional, and it might be a requirement that something ends for something else to move forward. And endings in life are needed. You know, we know that in business, endings are necessary often for a company to grow. And, you know, if you're promoted at work, you can't go on to a higher level without ending a lower level position to advance. So, yeah, endings are necessary. And they can be necessary in personal relationships, too. There's a saying, and you've probably seen it, especially, let's say, through Facebook or the Internet, that people come into your life for a season, a reason, or a lifetime. So, you know, endings may occur when relationships finish or need to be finished, and life stages need to end in order for you to progress and the other person to progress. And just because there's a loss doesn't have to mean that there's a loss of the love and the care between the two people. You can keep on loving someone, and in some cases, as the saying goes, maybe you never see them again, but it doesn't mean that you love them less. But the most important thing to remember, again, is that endings precede new beginnings, and we want to handle them well to bring about healing. So let's see. So some ways, actually, I have found also, and I'm going to throw this out quickly, is that some people avoid endings because they're afraid of change. You know, what will this ending bring about, and is it really necessary? And again, if you're afraid of change, know that sometimes change can be absolutely the catalyst for the best thing that's ever happened to you. And even if an ending is painful, and you want to avoid the pain, you might find that that ending actually leads you into the greatest dimension of your life. So just be open to the possibility of an ending in some area of your life that could lead to something even more beautiful to happen. So if we evaluate in your life endings that might be necessary, you know, something, let's say, has gone out of, the energy's gone out of something, or more energy going into it would become wasteful. You kind of think of it like you have a forest within you and you have to prune it periodically, prune branches that are taking energy from the vital tree itself, and the branches might even be dead. So be able to let go of the unwanted pieces. There's a wonderful saying in Japan where I teach, and it's about endings, and I'd like to share that with you. Because they say there is suffering that creates more suffering and suffering that ends suffering. Again, suffering that creates more suffering and suffering that ends suffering. And, of course, they follow that with you have to know the difference between the two. And I think we do know the difference, and that's what we have to pay attention to. Okay, a few more things about moving through passages. Don't let stuck become normal. You know, sometimes we become stuck with a chronic ache that begins to become normal for us, like a chronic shoulder pain. And we just sort of accept it without trying to change it, or we keep fighting against it. In Japan, they would tell you to begin to love that shoulder, include it rather than disconnect from it. So, you know, physically include and try to change. And in the same way with things in our life, that where we feel stuck, don't resist, because that will keep you more stuck than anything. And you may also have to go out of your comfort zone to go through a passage, something that you typically have never done before. Like, I didn't want to jump off that mountain, but the only way to get out of that was to jump off that mountain. And that's what I, of course, needed to do. And I'm so, so glad that I did. But there are many reasons that we come upon passage places in our lives, you know, again, these converging places of energy. And how you move through it will contribute to how you rebirth a new self, as Jung has mentioned. So as I understand it, in my experience of working with people and material on the topic itself, there are factors that will influence your attempt to embrace change and rebirth yourself. And some of those are, you got to feel good about yourself, okay? So start feeling better about yourself. And you have to have meaningful beliefs overall about life, because if you do, you're going to be more inclined toward a rebirth. You have to have caring and trusting relationships, not only with yourself, of course, but with others. You have to let go of what isn't working in your life. Remember the renegotiating contracts. And you also want to explore your personal talents and strengths and your dreams, so that you don't, as the saying goes, die with your dream in you. And most of all, you have to figure out what your own beliefs and convictions are and be true to those, so that you don't live with regret. So these, again, would be a few things to think about. But in summary, you know, we know that our journey is lifelong and our growth continues from birth to death and, of course, then after. And we know also that our natural state is to be in flow. And so, you know, control is an illusion as it is. But we're also involved in our own continual unfolding and our ongoing growth. You know, we can see it in the choices that we're making. So a certain amount of challenge, or what's called creative tension, it's essential to promote our growth. And it is at the times of life's passages that that challenge and tension would usually occur. Now, remember what Dr. Jung says, we have two halves of our life, and the first half's about the outer world. But he said the second half has to be about the inner world of yours, or you miss the journey. And he also said that we can think of our lives by using the analogy of a day. And we have the morning, we have the afternoon, and we have the evening of our lives. Now, what I love is that he says we can't be about in the evening what we were about in the morning or the afternoon. Because, you know, we'll miss the whole point, that we have to go inward, we have to remove the adaptive mask and really look under it and see what is, in fact, our authentic self, you know, bring out the best in us. Finally, in general, passages in life are turning points that will always bring about new beginnings. And at these times, we use passages as opportunities, or can use passages as opportunities, to come up with ways to nurture our emerging self. Now we're going to begin to draw to a close on our show, and I want to thank you for sharing your hearts with me in this hour. I do encourage you to visit my website at heartliving.com and my Facebook page, which is facebook.com/heartliving. I have a wonderful program that is going to be held April 28th right on at the Virginia Beach, Virginia Resort Hotel and Conference Center. It's beautiful, and it's a one-day training on a Saturday if you're able to join us. More information is at heartliving.com. The title is Living Mindfully in a Busy World, and lots of tips on how to create greater meaning in your life. There is a room rate also that you can inquire about. Above all, promise yourself that you will look at old perceptions, void old ineffective contracts, move forward into more positive living. And the motto of Heart Living is to lead from your heart with passion and purpose. I'm Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, your host for the Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff show. You can listen to my show on syndicated Dream Vision 7 radio network every Wednesday, 2 a.m. and 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Boston and worldwide. To learn more, go to dreamvision7radio.com for a full schedule. Dream Vision 7 Radio Network is the media partner for Omega Institute. Thanks so much for listening, and I wish you the very best.
Thank you for tuning in to Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff to explore ways to live a more inspired and passionate life. Gain clarity, balance, and purpose as Cynthia guides you on an enlightening journey of personal transformation. For more information, find Cynthia at her website, heartliving.com, or on Facebook, facebook.com/heartliving.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.